This podcast is about building an online course. I'm Jim Lengel from Hunter College in New York. As more and more teachers at all levels put their course materials online, and as we gain more experience with what works and what doesn't in this environment, it's a good time to share a few suggestions and guidelines for building an online course or for posting study materials online for a normal face-to-face classroom course. No matter whether it's a course in high school geometry or college-level art history, whether it's on Blackboard or Moodle or iTunes U or your own website, here are a few ideas gleaned from the leaders in this field. Number one, pay attention to the size of your units of study. I reviewed the other day a single online unit from a high school course that was quite long. One unit or one section consisting of dozens of activities amounting to about 3 weeks of work. For most students, this is too big a chunk to manage. It results in a long list of activities scrolling way down the page. Better to keep your units short so that the entire list of assignment fills one page above the scroll, and that the work can be accomplished in a fathomable time, such as a week. Most folks in this business have settled on a week's worth of work in each section or unit with about 8 to 10 assignments to be done. Following this rubric for chunking the content, a semester-long course would have about 20 units, a quarter course would have about 10. Whatever unit size you settle on, try to make it consistent across your courses and your subjects so the students will know what to expect. My second suggestion is always to provide reasonable instructions. Don't just provide a link to an assignment, and don't just tell students, go and read this chapter or this web page. Each assignment in an online course should provide a short rationale and clear instructions, such as, read this passage from Orwell's 1984, and as you do, ask yourself how the scene might be different if today's technologies were brought into play. This will prepare you to answer the questions in the next assignment. So what you do is tell them what they have to do, provide a little guidance as to how they do it, and tell them why they're doing it. The next suggestion is to balance self-correcting and teacher-evaluated assignments in each unit. We know that frequent student responses to content and frequent evaluation are the keys to successful online learning. So each unit should contain two types, the self-correcting activities such as quizzes, and then the teacher-evaluated assignments such as essay questions. If a student must do at least one responsive assignment in each unit each day, and if the teacher checks this frequently, the student is much more likely to stick with the program. Idea number four is to let them do the work right on the screen. Wherever possible and feasible, have the students provide their responses right in a text field on the web page. Avoid displaying questions in Blackboard or Moodle and then asking the students to go off and write their responses separately in a word processor. Better to pose the question and place a text field right under it for their response. This makes it much more likely that they'll actually do the assignment. And it makes it easier for the teacher to use the learning management system to see who's done it, to view their writing, to assign a grade to the results. It avoids sending files back and forth by email and avoids printing on paper. Here's another suggestion. Use advance organizers. Rather than sending students off to do some readings, then afterwards assigning them some questions about the reading, do this backwards. Give them the questions first, and then send them off to the readings with the questions in mind. When they come back to answer them, they'll be in a much better position to come up with good answers. This next idea may seem like a detail, but put the due dates right on the assignment. Many of the learning management systems have an elaborate calendar system where you go off to a separate calendar as to when assignments are due. But it's a lot easier for students to see the target date right in the instructions. This is easiest to do if you build week-long units. Then you can use the days of the week for the pacing. Read this passage from Orwell's 1984, etc. It's due on Tuesday. If you follow this method and you use week-long chunks, you'll never have to change calendar dates when you teach the course again next semester. Here's an idea. Consider including some creative assignments. It's very easy with the learning management systems to do text-based assignments such as quizzes and essay questions and matching. But these should be balanced with assignments that require students to do more creative things like draw diagrams, write screenplays, record a podcast, construct a slideshow, create a photo essay, produce a short video. All of these kinds of assignments can be created on a computer. They can be turned in online right through the learning management system. If you were to include one creative assignment in each unit, that might be a reasonable goal. It would go a long way toward increased student interaction and toward 21st century learning. Call it the project assignment. If you're going to do a long and extended course, consider developing some simple, consistent labels for each type of assignment that you give. This avoids unnecessary wordiness in the assignment pages and helps the students figure out what they're supposed to do. For instance, it would be a lot easier to use and visually cleaner if the title of your unit, instead of being, "What are my goals for this medieval civilizations unit?" became "Goals," and another section, "Pretest." Assignments. In this way, the structure of your unit becomes clear. I've seen some good courses that are organized goals, pretest, assignments, learn more, project, and post-test. If you use these over and over and structure each week in a similar way, the students will find it easier to follow the work. Online assignments can extend learning beyond the classroom. They make it easier for teachers and students to work together, and they provide more flexibility in the time and the place for learning. As we use this method more and more with our students, we will continue to learn how to improve it. That's all for this podcast from The Power to Learn.